notice, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now tell me, who began the work? Jesus Christ. And what does that verse say? Who's going to finish the work? Jesus Christ. Now, if you believe you can lose your salvation once you got it, once God gave it to you, you're calling God a liar. You're calling Jesus Christ a no good bum because he didn't finish the job. I know you're not bold enough to say that, but that's what you believe. By your actions, by your doctrine. And that's why I say again tonight that it's a great salvation that God gave us. Thank God for a great salvation. Amen? I said that again. I thank God for a great salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord for a great salvation.
Amen.
Now, thank God we can't lose our salvation. Look me back in Hebrews in chapter 2. But there are some things you can lose. The more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Isn't that what he said? And then he says down there, in verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Well, what's he talking about? He's saying you better be careful because some things can slip and you can neglect some things. That is, you can become irresponsible. God demands of us to be responsible. And if you've heard the gospel message, you have a responsibility to believe it. I mean, if you reject Jesus Christ as Savior, you could lose salvation in that sense, yes. You could lose out on salvation if you don't come to Christ. Because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you reject Christ, there is no other Savior. Where are you going to go if you reject Christ? Who could possibly be a greater Savior? There is no other Savior. There's only one Savior. Look in the Gospel of Mark. In chapter 8. Down about verse 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Now hold your finger there because we're going to come back real quick. Now look back over in Romans in chapter 10, my favorite chapter in the Bible. It is tonight. Now tomorrow I might have another favorite chapter. You know how it goes. Look down in chapter 10 and verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, who saith? The Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I think what Jesus is talking about over in Mark in chapter 8 are people that rejected salvation. They didn't receive salvation and then somehow lose it. They didn't get into God's hand and then somehow, you know, break his grip and jump out. He's talking about he came to the portals of salvation and rejected and said, I don't have time for it or I don't want it. And they lost out on salvation and they lost their souls. Why? Like that rich man that turned back and went away sorrowful because he loved the things of this world. That's what Jesus said here in Mark in chapter 8. That's where I am. Are you there? Mark in chapter 8. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I know some people that don't want to get saved because they know if they're saved, they're going to have to serve God. And that's true. If you get saved, you're going to serve God. But they don't want to do that. They want to serve themselves. And that's what it says in John in chapter 3. He says they don't want to come to the light because they love darkness. And some people, having an opportunity to be saved, will not get in the ark. Will not call upon God. They're drowning in sin. But they're not going to call on God because they love darkness, is what Jesus said. And some people love money. And some people love their family more than they love God. And so they turn down salvation and they lose out on salvation. There's some things you can lose tonight. Are you a believer? Are you a Christian? Have you been born again? Did you know you can lose fellowship with God? God's not going to kick you out of His family. You're a permanent member once you've been born again. But you can lose fellowship with Him. Did you know if you don't treat your wife right, God said He's not going to answer your prayers? Hello. I'm going to repeat that again for us men. If you don't treat your wife right, God might not answer your prayers. You could lose some things tonight. I didn't say you could lose some salvation. I said you could lose some things. There are some things you could let slip because you weren't responsible. Look over in 1 John in chapter 1, the first epistle of John. Not the Gospel of John, not 2 John, not 3 John, but 1 John chapter 1. He says in verse 4, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Are you lacking a little bit of joy? You ought to read 1 John sometime. "This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Now notice, if we say, did you catch it? If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Did you know when you walk in darkness, you have no fellowship with God because God is light? And in Him is no darkness at all. And you can lose fellowship. I have 4 children. Sometimes they disappoint me. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Sometimes they disappoint me. I don't kick them out of the house. I don't say, "You're not my son. You're not my daughter." Sometimes I have to get a paddle out and give them a good paddling. Sometimes I have to rebuke them sharply. Sometimes I just have to tell them, "No, you're not going to do that." You know why? Because they weren't responsible. I told them to do something, and they didn't do it. I told them how to do it, and they didn't do it that way. You understand what I'm saying? And God has told us how to do some things, but we didn't do it, and so we get out of fellowship with Him. That's why we have revival meetings, because we got out of fellowship with God somehow. Isn't that right? And he says here, if you say that you have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, you're a liar. God said that. You're a liar. And you could lose fellowship with God. And that's a terrible place to be. Are you there tonight? Did you know you could lose your testimony? Just like that. Wham! Just like that, you could lose it. You ever lose your keys? Oh, by the way, that reminds me of something. Somebody lost something here, and I found it. If you can tell me what it is, I'll give it to you. I'm going to give you a hint. It's green. It's green. Uh-huh. Legal tender. See, now, do we have one bid on a 20? We got any other bids? How about a 10? We got a 10 over here? I tell you what, you guys that guess the number, you tell me the serial number, I'll get back to you. Kent, it's a church crowd. I thought somebody would be honest in here and say, if somebody really did lose something green, would you let me know I have it? I think I do. I might have spent it already. I'm not sure. But I'll get it back to you. Maybe not the original one, but, you know, equal amount. I found it right over here by the water fountain. It had a lot of... Well, you got to tell me what it had a lot of. All right? And don't you be lying now. Now, we've got to go back and start this sermon all over in John, and we have to start over in Genesis where it says, God saw, see. God saw who dropped that legal tender on the ground, and God saw how many zeros it had after the one. I expect you to be honest. Those that walk in darkness have no fellowship with God. But you can lose some things, can't you? You ever lose your wallet? Huh? You ever lose your wallet? That's frustrating. I remember when Danny and Laura, they're up in Colorado right now, they came down to Mexico and visited us, and we went down to the beach and went fishing. And we were out there, and he lost his keys. And everybody said, Danny, check your pockets. Because that's, you know, Latin. Normally you put keys in your pocket. No, no, I don't have them. And so we looked and we looked and we looked and we looked, and now they're blaming each other. I shouldn't tell off on them, but they just had a little one of them things. Now you people that are married, you can laugh. I don't want any of you single people laughing. You don't have any right to laugh. Us married people know what we're talking about, right? They had one of them little things, right? And so this went on, you know, how are they going to get their trucks there without their key? They're way down in Mexico. Well, after about, I don't know how long, 2 hours of this, frustration. Lo and behold, guess where Danny's keys were? Right here in his pocket. Huh? He just thought they were lost. I'm saying you can lose some things tonight, and it's very frustrating. And you can lose your testimony. Look in Acts in chapter 13. I mean, you can be a real powerhouse for God, and you have a great testimony, and then all of a sudden, one night, it's gone. Are you listening to me, young people? Do you got your ears perked up real good? Do you hear me? You can come down to church, and you can hear the Word of God, and you get saved and get all excited about it. And then you can drive out of that church in a car and go somewhere and put your hands where they don't belong, and you can lose your testimony. Amen. And then somewhere you're going to come down to a mission conference, you're going to want to surrender God, but you can't do it because you lost your testimony. Are you listening to me, young people, tonight? My Bible talks about not fornicating. And if you don't understand what fornicating is, I'm going to tell you what it is. That's what you've been doing in them cars out there, see? Yeah, are you listening to me, young people? Are you here tonight? I'm telling you. Abstain from fornication. And you ought to read up on 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It says you're not supposed to touch a woman. Did you get that? Don't touch. It's like when somebody paints a wall. Don't touch. Because you can get pain on you. The Bible says you can touch it and burn yourself. Are you listening to me tonight? You can lose your testimony. And some of you young ladies, I'm just going to tell you something. If you ever get in a car or you ever go anywhere with a young man and he puts his hand on you, I'm going to tell you how to solve that solution. Help! Amen. Did you get that? Some of you missed it. Help me! Help me! That guy will just sit straight up and get... I tell you what else you do. Some of you young ladies, let me see your hands here. You got nice long fingernails. Right here in the eye. That, just right, right. That will cure him. That will stop that nonsense. But now I'm told nowadays I got to teach you young men to do the same thing. That young lady put hands on you, you ought to scream out, help me, I'm getting out of here. Huh? We live in a sexual perverse generation. Are you listening to me, young people? And that's anybody under 60. Some of you young ladies walk around with babies in your stomach, ain't you? Because you didn't scream out, help me! And you didn't use them long fingernails.
Are you listening to me tonight? You could lose your testimony. Just like that. Well, John Mark, here in Acts in chapter 13 and verse 13. And now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Seemed like a very simple statement. He just returned to Jerusalem. But something happened. Something happened. I know something happened because now we can turn over to Acts and chapter 15. And verse 37. Verse 36, and some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. That's what Janice and I are going to do. We're going to go back to Mexico and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. This is the same one that departed and went back to Jerusalem. And Paul thought not good to take with them, who departed from them and from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. You see, somehow John Mark lost his testimony. I don't know what happened to him. The Bible doesn't say, but it's obviously that something happened in his life that he couldn't continue, and he went back. He had to go back to Jerusalem. And it did not just affect him, it affected others. You see, young lady, when you go out and commit fornication and come home with a baby in your belly, it doesn't just affect you. It affects mom and dad, and it affects the church of God that's supposed to be holy and giving a testimony out of this world. We're supposed to be different than other people. I can understand somebody that doesn't know the Savior, doesn't know Jesus Christ, fornicating. I don't understand how the church of God is fornicating. And I never thought it possible, except for in the New Testament, Paul the Apostle himself writes to the New Testament church and says, abstain from fornication several times in the New Testament. So it was even a problem back then. You could lose your testimony. Just like that. Of course, you could lose your joy too, couldn't you? Look over in Psalm chapter 51. That's the Old Testament. Psalm and chapter 51. David said in verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and have uphold me with thy free spirit. He said, restore it unto me. Why did he say restore unto me? Because he had lost it. There's a lot of things you can do. You can lose your joy. Watch the wrong picture show. All of a sudden it's kind of hard to praise the Lord, ain't it? Read the wrong book. Go to the wrong place. Say the wrong thing. Have a spat with your wife. And that joy just seems to... It's gone. It's gone. You're looking for it. Where'd it go? I lost something. Had a one on it with some zeros after it. Where'd it go? And tragedy to tragedy, somebody... Sometimes you go so long, been 3 days, and you still don't know you're missing it. Somebody here sitting here this evening has missing that green thing with one on it and some zeros after it. And you didn't even know it's gone. And then you wake up one day and you say, where's my joy? What happened to it? You could lose your joy. I'd say tonight that you could lose your life. Can't lose salvation because it don't depend on you. And God never lost any of His. Now you lose your keys and you lose your money and you lose your wallet and you lose lots of things, but you can't. God doesn't lose anything. It's His. Look in Acts in chapter 5. You heard this story, Ananias and Sapphira. You know what happened? I'll tell you what happened. They were at that revival meeting at Pentecost. Hey, they got excited. And old Peter gave an invitation. They went down the aisle and said, we're going to give it all. Glory to God. We're going to get in on this. We're going to serve God with all our hearts and all our minds and all our souls. Hallelujah. We're going to serve God now. They got really excited during the revival meeting. In fact, they got so excited they sold everything they had. Says, we're just going to give it all to God. And then all of a sudden afterwards, after the emotion is gone, and we need to be careful of the emotions, don't we? Now the emotion's gone, reality's setting in. And they get to talking. Well, you know, if we sell everything, how are we going to live? Well, I don't know if we got enough faith to do that now. And so instead of being honest, did you hear what I said? Instead of being honest and being responsible and going to the apostles and say, you know, we got a little bit of carried away there. We made some statements that we probably should not have made. Or, look, we're lacking faith now. Pray for us. I mean, we committed to do this and now we're just a little bit scared. Instead of being honest, you know what they did? They pretended. They pretended. And you know what the Bible says? They lost their lives. You here tonight better thank God for the grace of God to your dying day. Because some of you are pretending, aren't you? Uh-huh. Come right down here and you said, all right, God, I'm going to give it to you all. I'm giving you everything. And now it's payday. It's time to give. And you don't want to lose faith, so now you're just pretending. Do you hear me tonight? Do you hear me tonight? God will not bless pretenders. If you want revival, you're going to have to be honest with God. You're going to have to be honest with yourself. And you're going to have to be honest with this church. And I dare say we ought to all fall on our knees and thank God that He hadn't struck us dead like He struck Ananias and Sapphira dead. Let's read it. Chapter 5 and verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira his wives sold the possession, nothing wrong with that. Kept back part of the price, nothing wrong with that. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid at the apostles' feet. Here's the problem. They already said they was going to give it all. But Peter said unto Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? Notice, whilst it remained, was it not thine own? In other words, you don't have to make any promises. Nobody's making you make a promise. It's in your possession. You're free to do what you want with it. But they came up and pretended. And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? And there's the problem. We get these things in our hearts that deceives us. Doesn't it say somewhere in the Bible that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked? We can't trust our own hearts. And our heart deceives us to the point that we even lose our lives. So there are some things you can lose. You're not going to lose salvation. God knows His own. But you could lose your life. Look over in 1 Corinthians in chapter 9. Did you know you can lose your crown? You know, this great salvation that God has given to us, He's given us salvation freely, but He allows us to work for some crowns. He allows us in on the race and we can run that we might attain. Hey, fellas, I'm running that I might attain. When I get to glory land, I want some crowns. And I want to be able to take them crowns and lay them at my master's feet. And I want to say, Thou art worthy, not me.
I don't want to get up there in heaven and stand before my Savior and said, I did nothing for you.
Now back to my parable last night, for those of you that are here, after that lifesaver goes into the water and saves that man, don't you know that that man is not only going to go to his neighbors and to his family and tell everybody, hey, I've been saved. I've been plucked from the river of sin and I'm saved now. Thank God for that. But don't you know the rest of his days he's going to be serving and want to please that lifesaver? Anything that he does, he's going to go back to him and say, whatever you want, I'm willing to do. I owe you my life. That's Jesus. I want to please Him. And He's such a great Savior, He's willing to give me a crown and give you a crown if you run to obtain. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look down about verse 24. Know ye not, do you know this? Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may attain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. In other words, in this race of faith that we're running, in this adventure that we're, this battle that we're in and we're fighting, you could become a castaway. God set you on the shelf and says, I'm not going to use that one anymore. Now there's a whole lot of reason, there's a whole sermon on why God would cast you away. You gotta run lawfully for one. You gotta run it God's way. And you gotta be faithful. It's not good enough just to start out of the blocks and run like a hare, just running as, you gotta finish the race. And many times it's not the hare that wins the race, it's that tortoise that wins the race, right? Isn't that right? Because the hare, he's all sure. Look at me, look how fast I go. Oh man, I'm really doing it. But that tortoise, he knows it's a long race, and he just keeps on going. You see, he's there Sunday morning, and he's there Sunday night, and then he's there Wednesday night, and then he's back on Sunday morning again, and then he's there on Sunday night. And that hare, man, he's flying along, and there he's going through all the revival meetings, makes every meeting. And then after the revival meeting, you don't see him for a month. But that tortoise, he's still going. He's there Wednesday night after the revival meeting. Oh, I see him, there he goes. Now Thursday night, he's going out preaching the gospel on Thursday night. You see him? Huh? No, you didn't see him, did you? Nobody knew about it, but there he is. And then he's back there on Sunday morning. And then Sunday night, there he is again. And then a month or two later, here comes the hare. He shows up again. Are you catching the drift? You know, some of these countries, they don't get stories like that, like we get in America. Moral lessons. And they have no idea what we're talking about. About running the race and finishing the race. They've never been taught this. There are some things you can lose tonight. You could lose a crown. Wouldn't that be terrible? I mean, to run 3/4 of the race and not get a crown? Now, do you want to win? You have to be responsible. The reason you lose things is because you weren't not responsible. I understand it happens to us all, but that's just by our nature. But you mark it down, if you lost something, is because you weren't responsible. You weren't keeping time. You neglected that. You didn't think it was important. Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? You had some legal tenders in your pocket. And somehow you either forgot about it, you neglected it, and you went over to the fountain and you pushed a little button to get some water, and you turned around and it fell out and you weren't even concerned about it. Didn't even know. Why? Because you weren't responsible. And you mark it down, these guys that lost the crowns and their life and their joy and their testimony is because they neglected something. They weren't responsible. Do we want to win the race? Do we want to keep all the things that God has given to us? Do we want to get the crown? Then we have to be responsible. And you know what? If we want revival, we have to be responsible. Now, I looked up in the dictionary, or somebody told me what responsible means. And I'm going to tell you what they told me, and I hope it's right. I believe it's right. Responsible comes from the word respond, and respond is to answer correctly. Responsible is to be answerable or accountable. Are we in agreement? Does that make a pretty good definition? We're accountable. And you know what we got a problem in the church today? Right here. Do you know what we got a problem? People are not accountable. They're not responsible. They don't want to be honest. They want to pretend like Ananias and Sapphira. They want to get the credit, but they don't want to do the work. They don't want to be accountable. They want to get the payday, but they don't want to put the 6 days into working. They call that welfare in the States. Are you listening to me? Now, this problem has been running from the very first day, I think. Look over in Genesis chapter 1. Now, you know the story of Adam and Eve, right? I hope. Have you read your Bible? How many have read the story of Adam and Eve in Genesis? Now, do you know what the Roman Catholic Church says about Genesis and about Adam and Eve? You can believe it or not believe it. Convenient. You can believe it or not believe it. You can think it's a fairy tale and just a myth, or you can really believe it that it really was true. Jesus believed it. I believe it. Now notice what happened. Doesn't your husband say sometimes, "The woman!" Isn't that true? Berlin, is that true? Huh? Janice, hey, let the women keep silent in church, please. But Adam says, "The woman!" And I had no doubt at all, the woman told him, "You're naked, boy." "The woman!" Yeah, "you're naked." Yeah, I had no doubt of that at all. "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me to eat of the tree, and I did eat." Yeah, but notice who he's blaming. The woman! And now you ladies think that's right? Well, notice what then the Lord God said unto the woman. "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent!" "The serpent!" And there was a guy back in my younger days by the name of Flip Wilson. He changed up a little bit. He said, "The devil made me do it." Huh? You see, they lacked responsibility. They were guilty. But they wanted to blame it on somebody else. And you know why we got some troubles today? Is because in the family, you got each side blaming somebody else. "Well, I really want to have a good marriage, but the woman." Huh? And the woman says, "Yeah, me too. I really want to have a good marriage, but the serpent." Now, we're not sure who she's talking about, do we? Huh? Huh? Are you with me? "Why don't you come to church?" It's either the family or the devil. "Daddy wouldn't let me go. Mama wouldn't let me go. The woman let me go. Or the devil wouldn't let me go." Huh? "Why aren't you serving God?" "Well, my family is just so hard." Or the devil. God is not stronger than your family? Didn't Jesus say something about that? "If you love your father or mother more than me, not worthy of me." Didn't Jesus say something about that? Can't we find that in the Bible? And isn't God greater than the devil? Then what in the world are we making excuses for? "Well, you know, the devil's got me down." Isn't God greater than the devil? All right, look at Genesis chapter 4. What, just Adam? Of course, you start out. Now, you mark it down, you people. You have wives that have women, have a woman. You mark it down. You're going to live with a woman. You're going to have some troubles. And you're going to have some kids. And you're going to ask, are you listening to me, you two, right here? The woman, see, pretty soon, you know, she's going to start, you know, she'll get big. And then you're going to have little ones run around, just like she was little one time. And you're going to have some troubles, but you better take them to the bedroom. And work them out there and not in front of your kids.
Amen.
And you better not, women, you listen to me, women, and you better not get the little guy over.